Morning decisions. A creamy mocha frappuccino drink, a sweet vanilla, maybe a smooth caramel, or that white chocolate mocha. Whichever you choose, delicious coffee awaits. Start your day with bottled Starbucks frappuccino drinks. Pick up a bottle near you wherever you buy your groceries.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, when it comes to maintaining or improving our health, most of us consider changing our diet or getting more exercise. We don't often factor in how our health is affected by indoor air quality. Dr. Marie Coggins is Senior Lecturer in Exposure Science at the School of Natural Sciences at the University of Galway, and she's been studying our indoor environment for many, many years and collaborated with the Department of Housing on guidelines to better ventilate our homes. Marie, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we're all sitting around in our living rooms and we're breathing all sorts of things in, but quite a selection by your account. It could include things emanating from our pets.
There's lots of different what we call indoor air pollutants. People would probably find it hard to believe that if you went measuring, you'd probably be able to measure over 1,000 chemicals indoors. And that number continues to increase as we bring new chemicals onto the market, and then we bring these chemicals into our houses in new products and furnishings, textiles, every day.
Yeah. So these are volatile products. So they're releasing chemicals into the air, whether it's from fresh paint, which, you know, we can all smell, or whether it's in a fabric in a new piece of furniture. At what point did they stop giving off this stuff?
I suppose the main source of pollutants, I mean, the volatiles are only just one type of pollutant, but we have pollutants really generated through occupant activities every day, such as cleaning and cooking, but also from building fabrics. So it's the volatile organic compounds are more associated with the building fabrics, but painting, glues, adhesives. So when you buy a new piece of furniture or you paint or redecorate your home, typically the paint is off-gassing the volatile organic chemicals for up to 2 years, in fact, post-decorating. So it's really important, I suppose, after decorating or if you're using inks, glues, or even doing arts and craft type work at home, that you make sure your home is very well ventilated. Mm.
Now, the question is it doing you harm? I mean, for example, there's nothing I like better than the smell of aviation fuel in my nostrils, because it means I'm going on holiday, usually. So how much harm do those volatiles do us?
I suppose there's many different chemicals, as I said, present indoors, but unfortunately, we know very little about the human health effects of the majority of them. However, there are a few that we do know a lot about the link between what we call exposure and health effects. So volatile organic compounds, there are hundreds of them, but there are certain volatiles like formaldehyde that people may have heard of, mm-hmm. And that's classified as a carcinogen. So yes, they're chemicals we should be concerned about. So like formaldehyde would be off-gassed from new furnishings, or if you renovated your home in particular, we detect higher levels of formaldehyde post-renovation. They're not exactly safe chemicals. Yeah. But again, I suppose we just need to be more aware, and where possible, I suppose, try and select chemical products that have low emitting VOCs. And you can see some companies will label their products with a low emitting VOC label. So if you see that, you know, they're the chemicals you should be picking. But
there are different elements to this, because you can have a volatile given off. And for example, people who work in a forensic laboratory, stuff is preserved in formaldehyde. They pop open a bottle, they probably get a whiff of formaldehyde, even if they're wearing a mask. The question is, you know, you can have so much of it before it does you harm. But what is the concentration that does do you harm?
I suppose in an occupational setting is very different to a domestic setting. So yes, if you're working with concentrated formaldehyde in an occupational setting, we'd be using what we call exposure controls. So people mm-hmm. would be using fume cupboards or extract ventilation systems. So that, you know, there's a legal obligation there, I suppose, to, in particular because it's a carcinogen, to try and phase out the use of it, number one. But number two, if you absolutely have to use it, then it has to be used under strict, you know, ventilated conditions, and not to be exposing the worker worker. In the domestic setting, then, I guess it's all about ventilation. So, you know, if you are, we see that in homes all of the time. So if you have a mechanical ventilation system, for example, installed in your home, make sure it's serviced and working correctly. And as I said, post, you know, there are, of course, limits. Yeah, I mean, I won't bore the listeners with what they are, but there are what we call long-term limits. And sometimes it's difficult enough to achieve those long-term limits. And we've seen that in Irish homes. But that's where the ventilation comes in,
now, you know. Not everyone has mechanical ventilation of their homes. New homes do because they want to be B1 rated or better.
Yeah.
But older homes will be ventilated through sometimes the draft. And we're always told, oh, you're losing so much energy out your under your doors or through leaky windows or up through your attic. There's lots of air going through the house that shouldn't be. How do you get that compromise between adequate ventilation and not paying a fortune for lost heat?
Well, there's plenty of guidance out here now. I mean, as we know, we have to improve the energy performance of our homes. And really, the statistics show us that, for example, one in every three European children are living in an unhealthy home across Europe. And these are homes that have structural or environmental issues that are affecting our indoor air quality. So renovation, and there's plenty of grants, as you know, out there from SAI, offers millions of homeowners an opportunity to improve not only the energy performance of their dwelling, but then as a result, indoor air quality. So, you know, as we make the home more airtight, yes, I mean, unless you're going to your B or A1s and A2s and A3s, you might not need mechanical ventilation. But there will be other features put into the home, such as, you know, your wall vents and your trickle vents in your window. But even just opening the window itself can help, you know, to help bring fresh air back into the house.
Now, one of my texters, apropos of what I said about we might have to forego our open fire, John says, from my cold, dead hands, will you take my open fire? Well, if they take his open fire, he will be cold. That's for sure. Whether he'll be alive or dead is another question. What about the particulates that are generated by fires, and whether it's, you know, a wood-burning fire, does it make a huge difference if it's open or closed?
Yeah, so that's an area I suppose we know a lot about. So for years, everyone has been very much familiar with outdoor air pollution, and we can smell and see all the smoke that's coming out our chimneys. And we, as a result, we have a very clear understanding between the relationship of between getting exposed to this fine particulates and health. So we know that fine particulate matter, for example, this PM2.5, you might often hear about in the media, that has been linked to the development of respiratory diseases, but also cardiovascular and also neurological health. So it's really, really important. I suppose we know that fossil fuel combustion creates lots of outdoor PM, but essentially that outdoor PM will come back into our living rooms through leaky buildings, through open windows. But also if we have open fires or open even stoves in our homes, we have been able to measure and can see that when you're refueling or when you're opening the closed fire. The stove, yes, yeah. you will get plumes of this particular pollution coming out. And even cleaning an open fire, the ashes from an open fireplace, you will get particulate pollution. So I suppose that's the thing with retrofit. You're replacing the fossil fuel-based combustion systems with cleaner alternatives like the air-to-water heat pump. And that's removing a lot of the particulate pollution outdoors, but also indoors, which is good.
And of course, whether or not the particulates go up and are scattered elsewhere or whether they just come right back down and in your window can depend on the air conditions, whether you've got a temperature inversion and nothing goes up and it all kind of knocks around. Obviously, that can have a different effect. Now, I did mention cats and dogs and perhaps budgies, I don't know. Do they give off particulate matter that might be injurious to us?
Well, I suppose the research would say that dogs, at least, the proteins that they would emit in their dander is kind of compatible with us humans. But of course, there are some people out there that would have allergies, and then there's certain mites that animals would carry that would affect their health as well. But I suppose the key thing here is cleaning up, and again, it's ventilation, and that kind of solves a lot of the issues we see with indoor air.
Some of the text coming in, is chlorine in a swimming pool unhealthy? You know, when you go for a swim and you can smell that chlorine throughout your swim.
Well, again, that's, I suppose, an occupational setting. And I suppose in a swimming pool, you have people there that are monitoring the concentration of chlorine and making sure that it's at a safe level. So it's, I suppose, it's performing a function in that it's helping sterilise and keep the water clean so we're not getting bugs into our system. But at the same time, I suppose it is being very strictly monitored as well to make sure that the levels are not going above levels that might impact on us and our health.
Someone else says, if homes had an air quality rating similar to the way we have the BE or the energy rating, I suspect a high rating on the BER might coincide with a low rating on the air quality. In other words, because you're close so tight to save energy, you might end up with more particulates in the air.
Not exactly true, I would say, because that's the work we've been looking at. So we've recruited over 40 homes. We're looking at, these are homes that have been retrofitted. We're looking at air quality before and after the retrofit. And as I said earlier, you know, the fossil fuel-based heating systems have been replaced by cleaner alternatives. So that's a pollutant that will be removed. What we are seeing, though, is that we see particulate pollution from cooking, and people don't tend to use their extractor fans over their cooker hoods. So that's a little bit of an issue. But I suppose the one thing that we do see in many of these retrofitted homes is that while the mechanical ventilation system is provided, it's not being maintained and serviced. And so in many of the homes, we see that the ventilation system is underperforming, and that's a bit of an issue. So I think there's definitely a lot of work to be done in terms of promoting the use of and the proper use of mechanical ventilation in these retrofitted homes.
Yeah.
And this is something, I suppose, the Department of Housing and Local Government have done a lot on in recent months in terms of
Now, if you're cooking on an electrical hob, presumably you're not getting any particulates because there's no combustion. If you don't use the extractor fan, you're probably going to get condensation from the steam, but nothing damaging other than that, I presume.
No, that's not correct either, really. Oh. I suppose, yes, people would assume that the gas flame would emit more particulates. But if you're frying on a pan in particular, and there's been lots of studies done where people have fried steak using different oils, gives off lots of particulates, and attached to those particulates is lots of nasty chemicals as well, because you're heating the food and you're essentially burning the food to cook it. So that process alone will give off the particulates. So yes, I mean, the cooker hood is really important, and there's lots of detailed studies even shown that if you are really, really concerned about the emissions that come off during cooking, keep all your pans and saucepans to the back rings and have the hood on.
Yeah. Of course, if you've got a Dermot Bannon Island type unit, it's going everywhere anyway. And the extractor.
Yeah, but we do have extractors. There are, like, the technology has come on so well. I mean, the extractors are particularly designed for those islands as well. I mean, I suppose the key here really is servicing. That's what we see with ventilation systems. They work, but if they're not maintained, cleaned and serviced, then unfortunately the performance does go down quickly.
Now, Lara says, there's nothing like an open fire at home, or indeed a stove. These are in almost every house in rural Ireland, which all have chimneys. Again, an example of city folk out of touch with rural Ireland. Marie.
Yeah, I mean, but I suppose the problem we have is that we have climate change is really real. And we know that, say, the Irish residential buildings were using 77% more energy and emitting almost 60% more CO2 than the EU average. And we're very much, I think, reliant on fossil fuels, up to 70% more reliant on fossil fuels. So this is something we're going to have to change over time. And I suppose SAI have lots of different grants out there to try and help the homeowner, you know, transition into this kind of energy efficient home where we're kind of becoming less reliant on the fossil fuels. And as we do that, we will improve outdoor air pollution. And at the same time, if we're improving outdoor air, we are also improving health and improving indoor air.
Do you want us to go around like the late Michael Jackson in a bubble? That's a question from Richie. That's a rhetorical question, I suppose. But finally, I should ask you about radon, because if the house is on top of a rock formation that will emit radon, now there's supposed to be a radon shield in all new houses, but still, you might be a bit worried if your house is very airtight that you're breathing in a lot of radon.
Yeah, that's a really important point. So radon is certainly a challenge for Ireland, and we have a lot of what we call high radon areas. So some of your listeners might not be familiar with the radon map, which you can look up on the EPA website and identify whether you actually live in a high radon area. And if you do, you know, you're more likely to have issues with radon in your home. But yeah, this is something we are a little bit concerned with retrofit, because you can there is the potential that radon could increase post retrofit, because you are building or making the house more airtight, and if the ventilation is not adequate, you can, or if the retrofit measures that are made, you know, result in an increased infiltration in through the soil that's underneath the home, then you can have an issue with radon. So what I'd be recommending to all, anyone who's going down the retrofit route, is to have your radon checked. It's a very, very simple measure. A way of, you know, you just put the radon monitors in your house for 3 months and send them back to the EPA for analysis. But that's something that's really important.
Dr. Marie Coggins, Senior Lecturer in Exposure Science at the School of Natural Sciences at the University of Galway. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Morning decisions. A creamy mocha frappuccino drink? A sweet vanilla? Maybe a smooth caramel or that white chocolate mocha. Whichever you choose, delicious coffee awaits. Start your day with bottled Starbucks frappuccino drinks. Pick up a bottle near you wherever you buy your groceries.